Good morning, good morning, good morning. Let me just adjust that a bit there. That might be a bit better. It might be. How you doing? Good morning. Wednesday, July 10th, 2019. Another, well, grim morning here in Salford in Greater Manchester. Might be about to brighten up. A couple of little gaps of blue there as I look out the window. Missed you last night on the Richie Allen radio show. There was a big technical issue with the phone system and setup here. That's been dealt with now. It's all good. I was on air for about 45 minutes and was trying to connect with Professor Julian Petley at Brunel University. And it all went belly up then. Because there's so much going on domestically, rather than just stay on and rant away to you, I just closed it down, which I've probably only done once in my life. But there you are. So, but back to normal today. Julian Petley will be on with me today. He's a really interesting guy. And this is about press freedom in the UK. And I will also be joined by Neil Sanders and a colleague of Neil's. He's got a new film coming out. So pretty busy Richie Allen radio show later on today. All right. All right. And I'll say it again. Once we get through the summer, I mean, most of the time during the summer, I will be doing 2-hour radio shows daily, but there will be the occasion when I won't do a full 2 hours. All right. I am going to take a couple of weeks off in mid-August, a couple of weeks holiday in mid-August, as you'd expect. And once we get into early September, when the youngsters go back to the prison system, that is their schools, we'll be back to Monday to Thursday, full on 2-hour radio shows with a 30-minute paper review on YouTube in the morning. So the content has increased, obviously by double, that I'm putting out to you, for you, and for anybody else who's interested in it. The content's going out more and more, okay? And lots of other things are going to happen in the autumn as well, which I'm very excited about, including making a live television show in the autumn with the help of Hayden Hewitt, which I've talked about before as well. I'm not going to spend too much time on the roll call this morning because I've got loads to do. There are some interesting things in the newspaper, and I had a very interesting email last night from a production company based in London. I'll tell you about that in a minute. So I had to Jesus Jones, I had to S Box, to Richard Murray, to PB Awake, to 2-6, to Gina Mills, to Gail, to Letra Blaze, good morning. Good morning to Free Palestine, to Bob Wimpenay, to Mike Hunt, how you doing, Mike? To Mark Perry, to Megatree Rat, to Wendy Savage, to Paul Birchall, how you doing, Paul? To Richard Scratcher, to Dick, how you doing, Dick? To Peace Dreamerable, how you doing? How you doing? And as I said, I'm not going to spend too much time on this today, only today. Hi to Eloise Mack. Eloise's daughter had issues after a vaccine. Thanks for that, for sharing that. I appreciate it. There's a story in the papers about it today, about measles. It's in The Guardian. I'll come to it in a minute. Hi to Yarlin Zay. How you doing, Yarlin? To Martin Coombs, who's in Spain. How you doing, Martin? Julie Walters, Mercy in Golden Age. Kinnell, that's my mate, Coca Bell. How you doing, kid? Marcus Horton, Four Jam Lines. Truthsite, Chris Brown. Sean Mack, I might have mentioned Sean. And Tuhade Dannan. How you doing, Tuhade Dannan? Who says, free Tommy. Free Tommy, free Tommy, free Tommy, free Tommy. And it's free Tommy Mayer for a murder. He did not commit, a different Tommy. Thank you for that indeed. Jason Hurley, Ian Hilpus, Jason Williamson. And I've mentioned everyone. I'm going to drop it. I'm going to stop it there. I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to stop you there. Newspaper review. Before I talk to you about the newspaper review, I received an email last night, yesterday evening, from a production company based in London. And the production company based in London is about to begin filming a documentary for BBC Two. For BBC Two. And the documentary will feature the comedian David Baddiel. And David Baddiel is going to be finding out, or he's going to be going around the country, apparently, trying to understand Holocaust denial and Holocaust suspicion and all of that in the 21st century. So a company called Wall to Wall, it's a production company, they're making this film, and a producer reached out to me yesterday and asked me would I be interested in being interviewed by David Baddiel for this programme. So there you are. And I responded and said, I would be. I'd be interested in hearing back from you in terms of how you plan to do it, what the format is, and I would consider it, of course. I would consider it. It's made the press, the Telegraph ran the story a few days ago that the comedian and actor David Baddiel wants to investigate insidious Holocaust denial in a new BBC documentary. He's warned of more insidious Holocaust denial ahead of a new documentary he hopes will keep the memory of survivors alive. He's had a dark fascination with Holocaust denial, David Baddiel. The fact even that since it happened, indeed whilst it was happening, forces have tried to undermine one of the most well-documented truths of history seems to me a key battleground in the fight between truth and lies. So it's going to be called Holocaust Denial, A History with David Baddiel. It'll be on BBC Two next year, early next year, to mark 75 years since the liberation of Auschwitz-Birkenau. Okay, there's a little bit more. David Baddiel's mother was a refugee of Nazi Germany. He's described himself as a Jewish atheist. I would say that's an oxymoron. Jews are not a race. Jews are not an ethnic group. We know this. Jews themselves say this all the time. In fact, we covered a baroness whose name escapes me. I could have looked it up this morning, who's got a book out now about anti-Semitism, a peer. And she was speaking with Adam Bolton on Sky News a week or so ago and said, we're not a race. In fact, to counter right-wing Jew hatred coming from Ku Klux Klan lunatics, Jews often said that the rabid right-wing white supremacists categorise us as a race. We're not a race. We are Jews, but we're not a race. So I don't know how you could be a Jewish atheist, but anyway. But there you are. But David Baddiel, yeah, growing up with David Baddiel, interesting guy. Let's see how it goes. There isn't a snowball chance in hell that I would do an interview with the BBC unless I was filming it myself at the same time, because this big baldy Irish gammon wasn't born yesterday. All right. In the email she sent me, the producer, she said that they're interested in understanding why I decide to interview people who have denied the Holocaust. Presumably people like Nick Collerstrom, presumably people like Alison Chablow and others. That's what they want to get to the root of. I think they're telling little porky pies. I think they're more interested in Twitter storms around the radio programme of late, and they're more interested in grilling me as to a comment I made, which I stand over. I never hide from the things I've said, where I said that I was... where I have had or have difficulty with the number 6 million. I've said it 1,000 times. It doesn't matter whether it was 100,000, 5 million or 6 million. Locking people up, scapegoating people and blaming them for the problems of society is wretched, no matter whether it happens to 100,000, 1 million, 5 million or 6 million. I've never said that. I don't accept the number. I've never said that. I know that the number is a lie. I've never said that. I've just said 6 million. It's hard for me to understand that, how it could have been 6 million. But anyway, I was accused of trying to minimise and all that old garbage. Not seeking to minimise or minimise anything. But anyway, they've reached out. Very interested that they have reached out. They haven't given me any inclination as to whether they have reached out to people like Alison Chablow, people like Nick Collerstrom, or the other people they harass regularly and harangue, people like Gilad Atzmon, of course, and people like David Icke. So I don't know. We'll see. I'll keep you posted. I'm open to speaking to anybody about anything, so long as it's fair and that you get a proper say, really. But what happens with the BBC, and it isn't just the BBC, it is commercial and national television and radio in general. I know this because I used to work in commercial radio, of course, at every level of it, is that they spend hours, days, even weeks filming something that's got to be fit into a 1-hour programme. and you, the interviewee, would be one of many interviewees, and my contribution might be whittled down to a 30-second soundbite. This is a problem, you see. And in post, children means editing, after all the rushes have been gathered and they've been spread out on a table, not anymore, of course, it's all online, they cut to pieces what it is you said after you've signed a document agreeing to allow them do that. So this is the problem. But anyway, we'll see, we'll see. I'm happy to talk about it and to explain why I interview people who've got opinions that other people think are offensive. I'll do that all day long and twice on Sunday with anybody. I'll be pointing out to these people, if and when we do sit down with their cameras and their producers, that I have extended the invitation 1,000 times to hardcore and hardline Zionists in the UK to join me for an open discussion about Jewish power, Zionist power, Zionist influence in the UK and in Western Europe and in America, the Zionist lobby, Shai Masat, the embassy, all that stuff. Let's talk about that. But Zionists repeatedly refuse to come on the programme, either because they say that I hate Jews, which is a nonsense, or they say, you've interviewed. I'm not going to go on a platform where Jew haters have appeared, which is a nonsense as well. Isn't it? It's just a nonsense, isn't it? Okay, so there you are. I thought I'd share that bit of info with you. Interesting. They've obviously come looking for me because of the big Twitter thing a few weeks ago, where I stood against it for 4 days, when somebody said to me, what's your impression, Richie? What do you think of the Holocaust? And I said, I'm fucking sick to death of it, which I am. And I'll say that again and again and again and again. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of turning on Netflix and seeing another film about the Holocaust. We get it. We get it. The Nazis targeted Jews. After doing a deal with Zionists in the early 30s to transfer money and Jews to Palestine, they began locking them up and killing them. We know. We get it. You don't have to tell us every 10 minutes. It's a religion now, the Holocaust. It's an industry, and it is increasingly used to shut down any criticism of the Nazi state of Israel. The illegitimate state of Israel. The brutal, occupying state of Israel. Run by lunatics who say that our right to exist has been given to us as a mandate from God himself. It would be absurd to question our legitimacy. And I don't question the legitimacy of Jews or Jewish people to be Jews and to be Jewish people. Of course I don't. But do I question their legitimacy to be in Palestine? You bet your fucking arse I do. And we'll always question it. The treaties and the agreements that led to the creation of the State of Israel were null and void under international law, namely the Balfour Declaration and its predecessor, the Sykes-Picot Agreement. This is what I think about Israel and Jews. I don't blame Jews for it. It's ridiculous to blame Jews for anything. But Jewish power, or Zionist power is probably a better way of putting it, is a subject that I'm familiar with and I want to talk about. And we'll continue to talk about. There you go. There isn't any rise in anti-Semitism, not in the UK, not anywhere. It's a nonsense, in my opinion. Okay. Shall we look at the Times, children, this morning? You're in fine form this morning, Alan, boy. You're in fine form, boy, huh? I'm always in fine form. My life has been turned upside down lately. It's a mess, the house. It's a complete mess. It's a bomb site. It really is. It is. Can't go downstairs. It's mental. Trying to do a radio show. Trying to do a live stream with you. And it's crazy. These are crazy times. No diva fits, though. No diva fits. What's on the front page of the Times? Johnson raises pressure on besieged ambassador. This is Darroch. The ambassador. They've been running this for the last 2-3 days. It's a non-story. They love it. It's the soap opera nature now of geopolitics as it is served up to the public. I told you, it's like OK Magazine now, Politics is now like OK Magazine. He's fallen out with her, she's fallen out with him. Do you hear what he said about him? Look at what Trump tweeted. It's marvellous. And what it has done is it has re-engaged people with politics and the political system and the political class at a time when people were starting to understand that politics is basically and voting and engaging with politics was basically complying with your own slavery. People were beginning to wake up to it. Now people are engaged with it. They eat popcorn now watching Sky News and BBC News 24, where news is never served up, nor is genuine analysis. But this crap is served up. Do you hear what your man said about Trump in the emails? Did you? Did you see what Trump tweeted? Did you? It's amazing, huh? OK Magazine. That's what it is. Really interesting story on the front page of the Times. Amazon in NHS deal to give patients medical tips. We'll come back to it. We will come back to it. We'll come back to it. Let's get rid of the Times then. What have we got next? Let's go with one of the tabloids. The Daily Mirror. Traitor Boris backs Trump, not Britain. Traitor Boris backs Trump, not Britain. Johnson and Hunt appeared on ITV last night with Julie Etchingham in Seoul for keys. They were down at the Media City on ITV. They had a debate. I saw about 30 seconds of it. It's crap. No interest in it, me. And yeah, they spent an inordinate amount of time talking about this Sir Darok. What's his first name, this guy? Ken? Kevin? Kieran? I've no idea. I do, but I just can't remember. The Financial Times. Hunt hits back after Trump calls envoy pompous and May foolish. So Jeremy Hunt got involved in the Twitter spat with Donald Trump. It's a soap opera. I've been telling you this. I've been writing about this and telling you this for a long time. I have opened this up as an area of research. It is mine. Well, it's not mine, but I'm the first person to start talking about this ever. This is what's happened. The 24-hour news channels have replaced the afternoon soap operas in homes around the Western world. And they don't do news. They can't do news. They don't want to do news. So they've got to serve up this sort of crap. Go to a gym. On the walls, the news channels. Go to a pub now. On the walls, televisions. Volume turned down. News channels with the subtitles turned on. Entertainment. Okay? It is a wondrous thing for me to observe as somebody who, you know, was taught and was schooled by real journalists in how to prepare news programs and how to present them and how to produce them. To see what's going on now is leaving my head spinning. But it is working. People are re-engaging with geopolitics, the political class, and the illusion of democracy. Look at some of my comments. Some of my own viewers, some of my own listeners don't agree with me. They believe that Jeremy Corbyn is the Messiah. God love you. I feel sorry for you. There's the most evil bitch on planet Earth. Look at the fucking state of that. Look at that miserable fucker. Look at her. Hunt, Boris cares about number 10 more than Brexit. Does he? That is on the front page of the Daily Telegraph. Also on the Telegraph, another story about Alexa and the NHS. Alexa is this spherical thing that sits in people's living rooms now, and people ask it questions. We know where this is going, don't we? Don't we? We've talked about it time and time again. Also on the front page of the Telegraph, the story about the Labour peers that resigned the whip in the House of Lords yesterday because they are horrified by anti-Semitism. Apoplectic they are. Morons. But anyway, what else? There are. Told you I'm tired. I suffer with insomnia. I've told you this on the radio show. I don't get more than 4 hours sleep a night. This week has been pretty hard. It's been very humid. Anyway, so I'm not even getting my 4 hours. So my mind is spinning. I'm all over the place. That diva fit that I promised on the radio show yesterday, it's coming. It's coming. Oh, it'll be epic. Cheeseburgers thrown at people in the street. Innocent bystanders. milkshakes thrown over the dog. I'm telling you, it's coming. So that's the Telegraph. We will come back to the NHS Alexa story. Look at that evil bastard. Look. Awful. She's just a cuddly old granny. She is in my hairy arse. Anything but cuddly. Do you think the BBC will still let me on that documentary now about anti-Semitism? Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. The Guardian writes the same-sex marriage and abortion for whole of UK MPs voted to extend these rights to people in Northern Ireland who could be against same-sex couples getting married so that their rights are protected under the law. Who could be against that, really? None of your business. Okay, you know this. You know I'm no virtue signaller. You know this because you know I've got mixed opinions. You know, when it comes to adoption and all of that, and when it comes to teaching young children about same-sex relationships and stuff like that, I'm against all that. So I'm no virtue signaller. But I have gay friends, as you know. Some of them got married, some of them didn't. None of them adopted. Thank God we would have had an almighty row. In fact, my closest gay friend today, living, doesn't agree with same-sex adoption either. There you go. But how could you be against people going to a registry office? Steve and Darren, we've been together for years. We want the same rights as heterosexual married couples under the law. Absolutely right, Michael and Steve and Darren. And whoever else. So yeah, the abortion thing, again, I've got mixed views on abortion. You know this if you listen to the radio programme. I won't bore you with them. Listen to the radio programme. You listen to the radio programme, are you? Listen to the radio programme. Don't have me to come and find you. I talk tough. I'm a YouTube tough guy. Big tough guy. Big bedroom dwelling tough guy. The Sun. This is how one does it, Meg. There she is, the evil bastard. Apparently somebody offered her a helping hand with planting the tree yesterday and she told him to fuck off. I can do it by myself, she said. Yeah, the Queen. Her very lowness with her head in a sling. I'm truly sorry, but it sounds like a wonderful thing. Queen is Dead, Morrissey, 1986, great album. The Metro, Alexa, do the job of my GP. What's going on? What's going on? Right, let's talk about it. What is going on? Well, number of newspapers are reporting this morning that the NHS has teamed up with Amazon. What could go wrong? The NHS has teamed up with Amazon because they're very concerned about old people, about blind people, and about other patients who cannot easily search for things online to do with their health. For example, what do you do if you have a migraine? Well, the first thing you do, you fucking hypochondriac, is get a test to find out if you really do have a migraine or if you just have a little bit of a mild headache, you hypochondriac. Everybody's a hypochondriac these days, aren't they? Eh? I live with one. Future Mrs. Allen. Never without a pain in her arse or a pain in her elbow. It's always something going on. Every day of the week. Unbelievable. Oh, I have a pain in my leg. Oh, I have a pain in my wrist. What do you think? Oh, what do you think, Richie? Jesus Christ. And you know what they do? They go online then, don't they? They go online. And then their reasonably benign medical problem, they'll see that it's connected with something that is death-causing. And all of a sudden, they'll have some weird disease, won't they? That's what they do, right? Oh, I've got a pain in my little finger. I better find out about it. Then they get convinced that they have some incurable disease. Probably brought here by migrants. Anyway. Jesus Christ. I am tired today. I was tired yesterday. I did say that to you yesterday. What, you don't care, don't you? You don't care. I'll teach you to care. So the health service wants people to use Alexa. And Amazon's algorithms will take information from the NHS website to give answers to people who say, Alexa, how do I treat a migraine? Alexa, what are the symptoms of flu? Alexa, I have a rash in me arse. I have a rash in my arse, Alexa. It's really itchy. What's that? Yeah. And even, Alexa, what are the symptoms of chicken pox? Mother of divine Jesus Christ. The Department of Health says this will empower people. It will empower people, apparently. It's going to empower people. And it's going to reduce the pressure on doctors. Why are doctors under pressure? Well, we know why. We know why. Public services are at the point of collapse. Yes, partly. Not all because of, but partly because of unfettered migration. Because a city the size of the country grows. The country grows, population-wise, about the same as a city the size of Swansea, is it, or Cardiff or something like that every year. So it inevitably puts pressure on the services. Don't blame the migrants. Don't blame the migrants. Don't be stupid and blame the migrants. It's not their fault. So the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, says technology is a great example of how people can access reliable, world-leading NHS advice, world-leading, from the comfort of their homes, thus reducing the pressure on our hard-working GPs and pharmacists. GPs these days are targeted and they are watched and they are evaluated to make sure that they are spending no more than 5 minutes with each patient. It is crap. Do you remember your family doctor years ago, dear viewer? Do you remember your family doctor years ago, Dr. Audrey Farrell in Waterford? Wonderful woman. You'd ring up Dr. Farrell. I can see you tomorrow or maybe the day after tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Of course, you'd get there at 5 to 2. And of course, you wouldn't get anywhere near her office until about 25 past 3. You'd be stuck in the waiting room, complaining and reading shit magazines. Woman's Own magazine is 15 years old. Sitting there. Women's Weekly, 15 years old. So old that the hairstyles on them are back in fashion. And you're sitting there for an hour and a half. But it was a good thing because Dr. Audrey Farrell spent on average about 45 to 50 minutes with her patients. 45 to 50 minutes. Audrey very rarely prescribed an antibiotic. Toughen up, she would say. Get out there and get a bit of fresh air. But it's freezing. Get out there and get a bit of fresh air. But the footpaths are icy. Get the fuck out there and get a bit of fresh air. Roll around in the mud. Pick an ice lolly up off the ground and lick it, even if it wasn't your fucking ice lolly. Get some good bacteria into you, boy. She's in her 80s now. Brilliant. Brilliant. That was medicine. That was care. Prescription? Nah. No, very rarely. So Amazon is going to be working for the NHS. This is how it happens. This is how it ends. This is how massive conglomerates weasel their way into the National Health Service and spread like a cancer. What could go wrong, eh, with Amazon? What could go wrong with Alexa, eh? What could go wrong with it? With people asking it questions about their medical problems. A lot could go wrong with it. I mean, isn't it interesting that in the articles today, which are extolling the wonders of asking Alexa, none of the articles that I've read anyway are talking about the fact that Amazon employees were caught around the world listening to recordings from people who have used and continue to use Alexa. What could go wrong? That's only one aspect of it. It's just one aspect. That aspect of you being listened to, you being spied on, that information being shared. What happens to that information, to all that data, when you go in there and start asking questions? Well, you don't go in, you just ask. Hey, Alexa, got itchy feet? Alexa says, you've probably got athlete's foot. We recommend Dactarin steroid cream. But what does it do with that information then? It's only the half of it. Have I laboured the point? I have. Of course I have. That's Alexa. Working now with the NHS. Happy days. The Express. Finally, Corbyn reveals Brexit betrayal. Of course. Jeremy Corbyn, come on. The socialist, if he's a socialist, so was Genghis Khan. Of course he's not a socialist. He's a social democrat. There are no socialists. Salvador Allende was a socialist. People on Twitter who claim to be Labour supporters call themselves socialists. They've ruined, they've stolen, they've hijacked the term. Most people on planet Earth do not understand what socialism means. No idea. They have been conned and they have been kidded and codded and brainwashed into thinking that socialism means taking money from hard-working people who use their brains to get ahead, taking that money and giving it to other people for social justice. That is fucking bullshit. That is not socialism. It isn't. And I've explained it 1,000 times on my radio program. I have lectured about Salvador Allende in Chile and about Hugo Chavez and Simon Bolivar. Okay? They've stolen socialism and they are not socialists. They are nothing like socialists, these people. Socialists oppose the anti-democratic, fascistic European Union and what it has done for workers, for workers' rights, for prosperity in working class communities. The biggest critics of the European project in the 70s and 80s were trade unionists and real socialists. Okay, I've laboured that point on the radio show, so I'll leave it go, right? I'll leave it go. 10:32 as I talk to you now. I've got about 10 more minutes. I've got to help my joiner. I've got to move some stuff with him downstairs. Unbelievable this, isn't it? You don't see this on the BBC, do you? Daily Star, Kelly, don't call me sexy. Kelly Brook is working in radio now, I think, and has told her colleagues, don't call me a sex symbol. Fair enough, love. Let's have a look at one or two stories. Welsh schools offer cheaper uniforms with gender-neutral options. Gender-neutral is all the rage. You know this, I know this. Eventually, it is one sex. That is desired. Most people can't comprehend that. Most people would think that's crazy, wacky conspiracy theory there, Richard. Richard? Well, I used to think so, but it isn't. It isn't. One sex. The end of procreation is what they want. We know this, Richard. Adams writing in The Guardian today. Lovely. Made me laugh. There's also loads of stories in the press today about Richard Branson. Do you see those stories about Richard Branson? Branson and his space tourism, where you get taken up on one of Richard Branson's spaceships, all over the press today. And he was on Ian King Live on Sky News yesterday afternoon. Branson gave an interview. He's thrilled as Branson. It won't be long now before he's taking people to space. Richard Branson. Do you want to get onto a plane or into a spaceship with Richard fucking Branson? Really? Honestly? Look at that. Richard. Look at that. Richard Branson. Look at that. Richard Branson. Brilliant, huh? Richard Branson, huh? Richard Branson. Remember Richard Branson. Get on a plane that was made by Richard Branson. Are you shitting me? Richard Branson can't even ride a fucking bicycle. Look at him. Look at the state of him. Mother of divine Jesus. Yeah, we'll have planes up in the next couple of years. No thanks, Richard. I'd rather get on Wile E. Coyote's fucking rocket, to be honest, and strap myself in by my scrotum than get on one of your planes. Thanks, Richard, but no thanks. No thanks, boy. No thanks, boy. No thanks. Richard Branson, the fucking agent. Wow. 9 lives, huh? Richard Branson, huh? Holy Mother of God. Keir Starmer wants to change the rules about joining Labour. We need an exclusion rule for anti-Semitism, says Keir. He's the shadow Brexit secretary. Big square heading him there. Yeah. I know, look, I know I can't throw stones, but your look, I've always been very self-deprecating. I don't take myself too seriously, so I can have a comment on the big square head of Keir Starmer if I feel like it, all right? The big square block-jawed fucking head in him. Keir Starmer! It's all that masturbation. Keir Starmer wants to see Labour's rule book changed so that in a clear case of anti-Semitism, member is automatically expelled. But what is a clear case of anti-Semitism? This is the question, isn't it? Is they don't want to clearly define it. Anyway, I'm sick of it. Sick of this nonsense. Police brutality. This poor guy on the ground apparently parked on a single yellow line. Then he ended up under about 500 pounds of overweight police officer. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of it, so it's unfair to categorise it definitively as police brutality, because it might not be. But I have speculated on the radio show from time to time that the sort of thuggish behaviour you see regularly from US-based police men and women, we're going to see more and more of it here in the UK. But it looked pretty nasty. There is a video as well. And increasingly, as time goes on, our police officers, most of whom I think probably mean well, they will increasingly, as time goes on, not look like police officers, but rather RoboCop. Lots in The Guardian today. It's quite fun, actually. One giant lie, why so many people still think the moon landings were faked. They were faked. Stanley Kubrick did it. I love how people are so definite in truth or circles. Vivian Kubrick, Stanley's daughter, is a lovely woman, by the way. I've had a, not for a while now, but I've had a couple of lengthy phone conversations with Vivian. Lovely woman, really lovely lady, actually. Very smart lady. And we talked about that, and she's, you know, very much amused by the theories about Stanley. Don't think she dismissed them out of hand, but she doesn't believe her dad faked the moon landings. But anyway, a lot of problems with the moon landings. Right? A lot of good questions about the photography and the sunlight and the shadows and the flag and all of that. I'm fascinated. I've interviewed Bart Sabrell. Do you remember Bart? The guy who got punched by... Did he get punched by Neil Armstrong, or was it Buzz Aldrin who punched him in the mouth? But a lovely guy, Bart. Californian guy. Bart asked one of them to place his hand on the Bible and to swear to Sonny Jesus that you walked on the moon. And he got a smack in the kisser. That'll teach you, son. But I like Bart. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon is very good. I like it a lot. It's a good film. I like Bart. Did we go to the moon? Did we? Didn't we? This young lady might have died of measles, which is a sad thing. It's not good, is it? That might be the lady. I did read the story now, but I didn't pay as much attention to the pictures as maybe I should have done. Her mother blames her death on anti-vaxxers, which is problematic. How a vaccinated woman's death exposes the threat of anti-vaxxers. My concern with stories like this, I'm very concerned about how the press likes to pigeonhole anybody who asks legitimate questions about the safety of any one vaccine, like Gardasil. The press pigeonholes people as anti-vaxxers and thus dangerous or demented people. That's not fair, because I've interviewed a variety of people. Some who believe that every single vaccine is dangerous and there is no need for them. Okay, I have had those people on. And I've had people who have said that some vaccines may be harmful because of a cavalier attitude by the CDC around testing. and cavalier attitude is putting it mildly. So I've had those people on. And I've had the mothers of young girls who are suffering very debilitating illnesses after taking the HPV vaccine. They're not anti-vaxxers. They don't have any opinions, good, bad or indifferent, on MMR or TB vaccines or anything, or flu vaccines, not at all. They're only concerned with the vaccine their daughters took. So it's unfair to use a pejorative term like anti-vaxxer, because it doesn't really explain to the perplexed, you know, some man or woman who is new to the issue. It gives them a false impression. Right. And I can understand why the woman's mother might be raging about this. Totally understand it. Because there's a lot of disinformation. Catherine was 28. She was going to be a border patrol agent. She was a college student or a college graduate. And she was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder. And she went to a clinic and didn't realise that the measles virus was airborne at the clinic, because somebody else had been in the clinic and they had measles. What's interesting about the story is it says that young Catherine was vaccinated against measles. She had been vaccinated. But her immune system had been suppressed by medication to control her autoimmune disorder. So when you read into this story, it's a deeper story and it's a more interesting story than the eye-catching headline about anti-vaxxers. This woman was vaccinated against measles, but treatment for another condition allegedly suppressed the immune system, and a chance encounter with measles at a clinic led to her getting measles and dying. Now, the chances of you dying from measles are astronomical, and I've gotten into that on the radio show many, many, many times. You're better off as a young child. Many doctors would agree, and in fact I've had general practitioners on, MDs, who agree with this, that acquiring measles, mumps, chickenpox, rubella of course, and other bacterial infections, I should say, and also bacterial infections, as a youngster is good. It's good for you because it helps your body to build up a natural defence against invading unhealthy viruses and stuff like that. And this is true. But, you know, generations of sound thinking around getting measles and building up a rigid immune system, generations of thinking has just been obliterated by hysteria. Again, led by the World Health Organization and led by the CDC and led by the NHS. Hysteria around measles. Very unlikely to get the measles, even if you're not vaccinated against it. You're very unlikely to get it. And if you do, yeah, you might feel unwell. You might even feel very lousy for a bit. But the chances of it leading to deafness or to blindness, serious injury or death are astronomical. That is true. That will always be true. The truth and facts should always matter. Okay, so interesting the headline, but the body of text and the overall story goes in a different direction than anti-vaxxers are dangerous. Anti-vaxxers are not dangerous. Questions, criticism of the system, of the regime, the medical regime, is not dangerous. Should never be called dangerous, but of course we're going to see moves. We are seeing moves to delete from the internet websites and Facebook accounts where people do discuss safety around vaccines. So there you are. I've done enough whittling on. Whittering is the word. Thanks for all your comments. Sorry I've not read them today. I'm just up to my eyes here, guys, you know. Honestly, I'm knackered. I'm looking forward to mid-August so I can take a couple of weeks downtime. I've been pushing it hard. And as you know, and I've never exaggerated, speaking of hypochondriacs, I've never exaggerated. I was at death's door in February with double pneumonia in both lungs. I still haven't put all the weight back on. I'm down to 14 stone 6. A healthy weight for me is about 14, 11, 14, 12. My thighs are just non-existent, honestly. So I'm a bit knackered. But I'm looking forward to the radio show at 5 today. And I've got Julian Petley on, who's a wonderful man. And I've got Neil Sanders on as well. It should be a lively show. And now I'm going to go and help Mike, who's doing a fabulous job of building a floor downstairs. We've got to move stuff now, you see. As he's building it, we're moving stuff around. And then we'll move stuff onto the engineered wood. And then he can put more wood down elsewhere. It's all been glued down. I'm probably high on the smell of the glue, probably. But anyway, no harm in that either. I'll keep you posted about the David Baddiel BBC Two documentary. Despite all of my nonsense, deep down I'm a decent bloke. I'll talk to anybody. But be fair. Don't try and set people up. Don't try and set me up. You know, I was making documentaries before some of these producers were born. I know how it works. But I will talk about why I interview people like David Duke and Alison Chablow and Nick Collerstrom and Gillad and previously David Icke. Of course I will. It's called free speech. And real journalists will always offer the other side right of reply. So when people have been on the programme bitching about Israel and criticising Zionism as an ideology, always extended an invitation to UK-based Zionists to come on the programme. And they never do. That's how it works. Anyway, have a brilliant day. I see some of the messages that have been sent to me have been held up for review by YouTube. We don't do that. Somebody sent me an email the other day, said, you're hiding my comments from YouTube, are you, Alan? Number one, I don't give an arse. I don't read the comments. Outside the live chat, I don't read the comments. Nobody is deleting your comments. No matter how vulgar, no matter how vitriolic your comment might be to me, I don't care. I got thick skin. I couldn't give a damn. Google holds them back. And sometimes when I go on YouTube, it tells me there are comments being held for review. I'm not going through them. Fuck that. I haven't got the time. So it's not me doing it, all right? All right. I know. Right. I'll see you later. I don't know what that was. I'll see you later on with the radio show live at 5 on the usual channels. Do check out triggerwarning.tv for commentary on geopolitics by Hayden and Graham, and it differs greatly from the sort of stuff I give you. No harm in that. See you later. Bye now. Bye. Look at that. Couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. Look. Told you, didn't I? In a brewery. Bye now.